Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa DeYoung. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Everyone, and welcome to episode 13, I believe. It's Friday, it's still June, we're in mid-June in 2022. The weather's been quite nice here in Dublin, in Ireland, and yeah, it's a good time at the moment. I was at a comedy gig yesterday in Dublin. It was a comedian, a feminist comedian called Julie J. It was really, really good. So if you're looking for some new comedy, give her a follow on Instagram. Really enjoyed it. And yeah, today is going to be a short enough episode. We're going to be talking about when we are afraid of our feelings and thoughts. And the reason I want to have a conversation with you about this topic today is because it's so common. It's so common to be afraid of feelings and thoughts that come through our brains and our nervous systems every month. And I had an experience last week on my period where my thoughts kind of scared me a little bit. So I'm going to talk to you about my own personal journey with that. And also I have a lot of clients who struggle with this. And I think that the medical and the mental health community haven't yet acknowledged enough the cyclical nature of the female body. And so it's a really important part of mental health is understanding the cyclicality in our mental health and how we can go from one day feeling fine and everything's good to then the next day feeling like we're just drowning in dark thoughts and fear and worry and overwhelm. And when we have fear with all the thoughts and the feelings, it can really create a lot more tension and make it worse. So we're going to dive into that. And yeah, let's get started. So last week I had my period and it was a little bit more uncomfortable than I'm used to now since doing my own recovery work and surgery. And I think that's just the reality is that, you know, like anyone listening to this podcast, we can't really predict our experiences, even if we do all the right things, you know, and that can actually lead to a good bit of anxiety as well. And so the practice of menstrual cycle awareness and learning to live more in tune with our body and living in sync with our body. A lot of us come to this work because there's an issue or we're struggling and then we find this work and it's really helping us. But the reality is that it doesn't always work and life happens and mental health difficulties happen and our body does things. And sometimes we do find ourselves more vulnerable or suffering more than we were kind of hoping or anticipating or expecting. And that's when we're being called to, I guess, another level of skill with this stuff. That's when we're being called to another level of mindfulness around this stuff, another level of embodied mindfulness, another level of being able to meet what we're experiencing and using the skills and the tools that we have to navigate it and not necessarily put pressure on ourselves to have to feel better, but rather can we soothe ourselves through a difficult time? Can we hold ourselves? Can we create compassion and drop the expectation that it's going to change, but rather can we just self-soothe and support and nourish and reach out for support and get help and get connection and all the things that can help us when we're going through really, really dark times with the cycle or with our mental health in general. So last week when I had a good bit more pain, there was one particular day, it was a Monday, and I found myself in a bit more pain, as I said, than I was expecting. And when I get a very particular type of period pain, and I'm sure a lot of you can relate to this as you're listening to me, my head just goes into a dark place. You know, it really does. It can, it not always does, but it can do. And thankfully it only lasted for about an hour and I knew what to do. But I'm sharing that with you because I want to remind you that I'm right there with you on the journey of healing and recovery. And, you know, I don't have it all together. These things happen to me. But also that I came from a place where that was much more regular for me. I came from a place 10 years ago, maybe a bit less, where I was having dark thoughts regularly and I didn't understand them. I was having a lot of very difficult emotions that I didn't know how to process. And I just didn't have the tools or the skills because, you know, quite frankly, we weren't taught those things, and we don't live in a society where learning these things is prioritized. I think, although it's changing nowadays, thankfully, but back then it wasn't. And so I was left alone, you know, with my own terrible, terrible dark thoughts. I was left alone in the shame of having endometriosis without even knowing that I had endometriosis, because no one knew what that was back then. And it was period pain. And like, why would I want to talk to anyone about periods? And no one would really talk to me about it. And it was just a very lonely, very isolated place. And, you know, now looking back, it makes a lot of sense that I had these dark thoughts and, you know, a lot of depression and a lot of anxiety and a lot of overwhelm that I was kind of covering up. And that's the thing, is like, when we're covering up and when we're pushing through and when we're putting on a brave face, like, we do, I kind of think we do kind of have to do that sometimes. But after a while, if we're doing that for so long, it's very exhausting for ourselves. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of inner holding. It's a lot of work on the nervous system to kind of show up as though we have it all together. So just to bear that in mind, that is a lot of work that we're doing. We're doing a lot of inner clenching, a lot of inner holding. And then if we ourselves don't have safety with dark thoughts and difficult feelings, then we're kind of running away from our own experience within ourselves. And that then creates more tension. So, yeah, I'm wondering if you're relating to this as I'm speaking about it. And I'm just kind of thinking back to my youth when this was more common. But my experience has been, the more that I worked towards, and it was a very slow, very gentle process over the last 10 years, but the more that I worked towards building capacity within myself and building safety with very uncomfortable feelings and very uncomfortable and scary thoughts, the easier it got. I'm not saying it's easy, but the easier it got, it took the edge off, and that tension and that fear kind of started to dissolve a bit. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how we can do that, because that sounds quite idealistic as well. Like, oh, okay, let's create some safety and build capacity for feelings and thoughts. But when you're in the thick of it, it's really, really hard, you know, and it's the last thing we want to do. And how do we do it? And if we've never been shown it, how do we do it when we don't feel supported by our communities or, you know, the people in our lives, because they don't have those skills, you know? And it's not to blame anyone. It's just, this is very much a skill that we need to learn. And I do also think that the kind of the mainstream mental health community is still in a place where we're pathologizing women's experiences and pathologizing the menstrual cycle and seeing, you know, the shadow side of the cycle, like I've talked about in all the episodes on the inner season. So the menstrual cycle has the light side and the shadow side, the yin, the yang, the masculine, the feminine. And we live in a very masculine oriented world. When I use that word, I don't mean it necessarily in a gendered way. I mean it in a more you know, doing, goal oriented, productivity oriented world, just the world we live in. So it can be scary to go into that more feminine energy, into that not knowing, into the unknown, into the darkness, into the shadow. And it is dark sometimes, like there is a lot of darkness in the menstrual cycle, and so it's hard to go there, and it's very scary. So how can we lean into that in a way that feels safe, and in a way where we feel supported, and in a way where we understand what's happening, and it's not something to be afraid of, and it's also not something to pathologize. It's not a problem to fix. We're not sick. Okay, so let's talk about that. One of the first points I want to make is, because I love to talk about what I call the socio-cultural or the social justice lens in this work, because it has such an impact on who we are and how we're shaped and our nervous system and our relationship with ourselves is the culture that we grow up in. And often a lot of the unconscious things that we experience come from this culture. So we do live in a culture where having dark thoughts, having suicidal thoughts, having even homicidal thoughts, and I'm going to just reiterate the word thoughts here, not actions. So having those very scary, very dark thoughts, it's a taboo, and it's perfectly understandable that you'd be scared of them. And when I have thoughts like that, I get very scared as well. And I have clients whose experiences are the same as well. They have these thoughts, or, you know, they could be going along their day and everything is fine. And then they might struggle with a particular relationship, or there'll be a shift in their hormones as they navigate into the inner autumn or into the inner winter. And then all of a sudden they'll find themselves having these not very nice thoughts, you know. So a lot of the tension does come from the fact that in our society, it's not normalized. It's not encouraged. It's a taboo. It's seen as a problem that needs to be fixed, seen as a threat. And so I would like to challenge that, you know, it's my opinion. So please take what you like and leave the rest with this podcast episode. And also, just as a disclaimer, make sure that you do speak to your doctor or your mental health practitioner to support you in navigating this conversation and your opinions around this and the kinds of support that you need, and rather just look at what I'm sharing as extra information that you can consider. So then the second point that I want to make is then around this notion of building safety. And that's what I do with my clients, is when I have a client who is navigating a lot of dark thoughts, I'm working with their nervous system, I'm working with trauma. And the way that I work then is that it's a very slow process over time, but we slowly build safety with the experience in a very gentle kind of way. We don't dive into the darkest of darkness, but the experience of sitting together, we create something called co-regulation, where we have me as the practitioner showing up as regulated as I can and being present for my client, and just whatever emerges from the coaching session emerges. And often it can be very therapeutic, and often a client may just need to have a good cry or to be heard or to be witnessed. And then we start to talk about, you know, the thoughts that are going through the mind. And then we're looking at how we can build safety with those thoughts and start to normalize those thoughts. Those thoughts are often very normal. And the more we resist them, like weights in the gym, if you go to the gym and you increase the resistance of the weights that you're lifting, your muscles are going to get bigger and stronger. So the more we resist very uncomfortable feelings and thoughts, the stronger they get and the louder they get, and they start banging on the door. Okay. So we do need to start to lean into them, but very gently. And we're coming towards those difficult thoughts and difficult feelings from our inner adult self, from our inner adult self who feels they have connection either to me or to another practitioner. There's some kind of sense of grounding. There's a sense of boundaries with self. There's a sense of being somewhat in control as well. And then over time, we start to build then safety with having those thoughts and feelings. So what does that even mean? What does it mean to be safe with your thoughts and feelings? To be safe with your thoughts and feelings for me as a practitioner means that, or even just me as a human and a person with a cycle, is that I have the capacity to sit with the feelings, to sit with the thoughts, to maybe write them down, to feel them. And that's not easy. That can be really, really hard. That can be really, really scary. And that can be really, really uncomfortable. But the more I build safety with difficult feelings and thoughts, the more of a container I have, the more spaciousness I have in my body, and the more those thoughts and feelings can start to move through me. But it needs to be done in a way that's slow and that's gentle and that's not dysregulating, because often, you know, we can then take this advice that I'm sharing, and I know a lot of other mental health professionals share the same advice, and they say, you know, feel your feelings and listen to your, look at your thoughts. But if they are dysregulating and if they're bulldozing you and getting in the way of life, and if it's too much, then you have to slow that process down. Because if you've lived your life ignoring your thoughts and feelings, which most of us have, so there's no shame there, or suppressing them, or keeping yourself distracted or staying busy, which are all really good ways of regulating, by the way. And we're always regulating. We've been regulating our nervous system before we even became aware that that's what we were doing. But now you're choosing to regulate in a way that's maybe healthier, that's more sustainable, in a way that works better for you. Yeah, so that's what it is. It's like sitting with the feeling, sitting with the thought, and you might feel a little bit of fear, but you have the ability, you feel stronger in yourself, you feel grounded. And you have the ability to say, okay, that's enough now for today. I'm going to park it there. I've done 15 minutes of sitting with my feelings. Or you'll have the ability to discern your needs more clearly. You might have more clarity around needing a particular type of self-care or a particular type of food or some solitude versus connection. Or maybe there will be a day where you need connection, and being able to lean into those supports that can help you to feel the feelings and be with the thoughts more. Okay, so the next thing I've written down on the list I think is really important. And it's been a huge part of my learning how to sit with feelings and thoughts, because as I said before, just saying to yourself, oh, I need to learn how to sit with feelings and thoughts, it's kind of harsh. And it's coming from a place of a bit of an inner critic place. So we want to encourage lots of gentleness, lots of kindness, lots of compassion. And again, they're all skills that we have to learn to develop. I don't think they just come naturally, especially if we're not raised with them. So I have written down, can I sit with these feelings and thoughts in a way that I'm not working so hard to fight with them? Okay. So just noticing when you're sitting with yourself, when you're trying to do this, what I'm telling you to do is sit with your feelings and thoughts, noticing in your body if you're really having to effort, if you're really having to work hard. And chances are you've been like really working really hard all your life. So then we have to take a different route and kind of ask ourselves, how can I do this in a way where my nervous system isn't like having to effort and work so hard? How can I surrender? How can I soften? How can I let go a little bit? How can I make this experience a little bit more comfortable for myself? And that's really important. So let's talk about that. So this is where the mind-body connection comes in, okay? Where the self-care piece comes in, and this is where the body piece is so important, okay? So building comfort or decreasing the discomfort, and creating a buffer, taking the edge off the uncomfortable feelings and the fear around thoughts, I really think that we need to start leaning into sort of the physiological experience a bit more and practicing self-care. So that would look like taking an Epsom salt bath and very consciously getting in your bath. And rather than listening to a podcast or doing something else, then maybe putting on some nice spiritual music or some classical music and really consciously choosing to sit in the bath with your thoughts and your feelings, as though those feelings and thoughts are kind of entities in and of themselves visiting you and are just there as a guest. And you might light some candles, or you might have some incense in the room, or like I said, music. So you want to create an atmosphere of holding. You want to create an atmosphere of a sort of ritual, almost like a spiritual atmosphere that allows you to lean into the difficulty, lean into the discomfort, but your body is being supported. And it would, I would imagine, be quite a cathartic experience, because you might experience tears, or you might start trembling, or you might have some flashbacks. And then just let it come, let the tears come, let the trembling come, and know that you can always come back to the room, you can always change the music, you can always turn the light on, you can get out of the bath, you can take a cold shower, you can make another cup of tea, just to kind of come back again out of that experience. If you don't have a bath, you can do this on a yoga mat. You can lay down a yoga mat, get some blankets, get some cushions, light a candle, get some crystals, get some angel cards, whatever it is, whatever is your thing, or anything that means something to you, or again, incense, something nice to touch, something nice to eat, a cup of tea. And again, like I said, it's almost a ritual of sorts. You're very consciously choosing to lean into feeling, to lean into observing your thoughts. Maybe you journal something here, and that, you know, it's not going to like quote unquote fix the suffering in one sitting. But if you can incorporate this into your weeks, into your month, and this very conscious practice of feeling and of noticing your thoughts, what you're doing then over time is you're doing two things. You're building your capacity for feeling difficult feelings and sitting with those uncomfortable thoughts. And you're also clearing out the gunk. So you're kind of letting go of stuff. You're processing through. You're crying, you're maybe laughing, you're letting your body tremble. You're just allowing whatever comes up in your nervous system to come up and to show itself. And there could be years of anger or grief or sadness or even joy. You know, it doesn't always have to be difficult shadow feelings. There can be other feelings too. And you're just allowing that to emerge and allowing your body to do what it needs to do, trusting that there will, you know, you won't cry forever and you're not going to be trembling forever. Your nervous system will regulate itself then again. And you can also pull yourself out of it. Like I said, you can move, turn on some music, get another cup of tea, get a glass of water. Just if it's too much, you do have to kind of come out of it. But if you're able to stay with it, then keep going and just let yourself feel and know that you're being held in this kind of ritual sacred space. And with that said, I have a little mantra that I use that I'd love to offer you. So easy, and you can just remember this. And sometimes I say it like last week, when I had some period pain, and I still get like fear of pain. Like my pain isn't as bad as it used to be, but my brain is wired in such a way that I get like fear of pain before pain comes. which again is very understandable. So I was driving down to, I was going to get my hair cut actually, and I was on, I think I was on like day one or two, and I was a bit worried. I was like, oh, should I be leaving the house if I'm menstruating? And you know, that fear of pain just always comes back, and that's my piece of work at the moment is navigating that. But I have this mantra that I said to myself in the car as I drove down to the town. And sometimes I might touch my forehead or my heart space or my womb space while I'm doing it, or wherever like feels like appropriate to touch, or my arms or my legs. And you're just kind of placing, you know, hand on body contact. That can also be very soothing for yourself. And the mantra is, I am safe. I am well. I am being looked after. I am safe. I am well, and I am being looked after. And when I say I am being looked after, for me, what that means is kind of spiritually speaking, I'm being looked after. Like I'm connected to something greater than myself. I've got my own back. I have supports in the world. You know, whether you believe in a God or not, or whatever kind of spirituality you have, or if you don't have spirituality, you know, that you feel looked after by your community or people in your life, or your hobbies, or even just like the room that you have, or the space that you're in, or nature. Just that sense of feeling like you're being looked after, that you don't have to do all the looking after yourself, that you have support, and that you are being held, and that you can lean into that. And that's really important, because I think a lot of us have been efforting and striving and trying to fix and solve and looking for the solution. And, you know, a lot of clients who come to me, when we start working, a lot of the kinds of language that they use is they want to be able to manage and control their feelings, and that's what they think that they need, is more management tools and more management skills for controlling emotions and, like, you know, putting them into this container. But I actually give them a very opposite approach, and we start to open up that box, and we start to soothe the nervous system and regulate and build safety and build capacity for feeling. Yeah, so that's the mantra. I am safe, I am well, and I am being looked after. And you can use that, you can use those words, or you might create your own mantra. I think that's a really nice thing to do, is create your own mantra that feels really authentic to you. It comes from a deep, heartfelt space within you. And when I say that, I do start to feel regulated. And I've said that in times where I've felt a lot of fear, a lot of dark thoughts, and a lot of physical pain. All at the same time, I've been sat on the toilet in a lot of pain, and I've put my hand on my forehead, and then my hand on my chest, and then my hand on my womb space, or my hands on my lower back. And I've said those words, I am safe, I am well, I'm being looked after. And whether I believe them or not doesn't matter, because you're actually not even talking to your brain. You're talking to your body. You're talking to your nervous system. You're talking to your heart. You're talking to your deep inner child, I suppose, the vulnerable parts of us. And those vulnerable parts need a kind of an adult part of us to step up and to look after ourselves and to have our own back. And that's what we're learning with this work, is we're learning to build skills and capacity to self-soothe, self-regulate, and create a container from within. Then a few other things I want to share on this is a very important part of the work that I do when I'm practicing somatic experiencing. So somatic experiencing is a trauma therapy that I weave into my work with a lot of my clients, particularly for people who have a history of trauma or just benefit from that practice. We start to orient the room. We start to build capacity for being in the here and now, because trauma can keep us on a nervous system level. It can keep us stuck in the past. So we're very gently working on bringing ourselves into the here and now, and into safety, into regulation, and into connection with the physical space. So that's something else you can do when you're in pain. When I was in pain last week, I was in the bath, and like I said, having dark thoughts, and I just oriented to the room. I noticed, oh, there's a nice tree outside, and I'm going to just really let myself focus on that bird that's singing. Can I allow myself to hear that while also feeling this pain? And that's a really, really powerful thing to do, is like our brains are so powerful. Our minds are so powerful, especially when it comes to pain, is to build the skill of finding another focus when we're in pain. So it could just be even like watching Netflix. I do that a lot as well. If I have a lot of pain, I sometimes do need to actually just completely distract myself and watch something, usually a comedy on Netflix or something like kind of really trashy, or listen to a podcast, or just stare at the window and look at some nature. And that can be a really good thing to do. Or else, if you can also bring your mind to a part of the body that isn't in pain, that's another thing you can do. It's called somatic tracking. It's something I teach a lot of my clients as well, is where we bring our attention to parts of the body that feel comfortable when other parts are in pain. And that's also a skill that you can develop. And then another very important part of this work is connection. Actually, it's probably the most important part of this work is connection, because when we're in fear of pain, or when we're suffering, or when we are in a state of mental darkness, what happens is we tend to isolate. It's just normal and very natural. It's a part of the brain that will just go into survival mode. We go into a freeze response, and then we don't tend to reach out. So having supports in your life, having a group or a coach or a mentor, you can work with me, I can support you with that, and or just having friends who you can reach out to, and knowing that you have places where you can go with people who aren't going to try and give you advice and fix you, because that's annoying and that can actually make the problem worse because it pathologizes your experience. But rather that you have supports with people who can be with you in the darkness and who can witness you in it and who can hold space for you. And that's really, really, really important. And that allows your body to get used to being in those bouts of suffering without going into fear. You feel held, you feel safe. And by doing that, you're creating new neural pathways, because then you're giving your nervous system an experience of safety with difficult feelings and thoughts. And that's a really, really important part of this work. So yeah, don't isolate. And it's also a good idea to like make a plan. So to have a regular coach or someone that you go to, that is something I offer after. In my work, I usually do 3 or 6 months, depending on the needs of the client, a container. And we work regularly, weekly or biweekly in that container. And then after we finish the process, I'm available then for just hourly sessions. And then my clients will do like a monthly session with me once a month, and we do some work together just to keep them on track. But yeah, to not isolate is really, really important. Then I've written down here as well, spirituality. I do think that sometimes when we're in a really difficult phase of our lives because of our history or trauma or circumstance or whatever has happened, or biology is changing, maybe you're navigating perimenopause, and I know a lot of women are more at risk in terms of their mental health during that time, and people who identify as having PMDD as well, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, they tend to be the more quote unquote at risk mental health people. Then having a spiritual practice can be really helpful. And I don't necessarily mean that you have to like do breath work or ice baths, or you have to journal, and it doesn't have to be the strict kind of like rigid thing, but rather like a place that you can go to in yourself where you can surrender. So for me personally, that would be prayer, or sitting in nature, or dance, or like journaling, but not a kind of a I have to journal kind of way, but kind of more like a it's emerging from me. Or I also turn to the arts. I love the arts, especially poetry, or a really nice novel or a beautiful movie. But yeah, prayer can be really powerful, because if you're praying, well, you can pray to whatever you believe in, and God, angels, your spirit guides, your ancestors. I think they're all really relevant, or pray to them all, you know, get all the support you can. Writing down your prayers can be a really beautiful thing to do as well. I think there's such power in actually the written word. There's something about taking something from your brain and making it into a physical reality on a page. I think that can be really powerful. Having a prayer journal in times of need, and just reaching out and, you know, surrendering and handing over those dark thoughts and those dark feelings. Sometimes that's all we have left that we can do. And I would encourage you to allow yourself to think about what kind of spiritual practice you can bring into your life that you can lean on in those times of need. And then lastly, the last thing I want to say is, a few more things. Asking yourself, what is overwhelming? What can you take off the to-do list? Even if it is like going to see friends, and you feel like you're only going to see your friends or people because you don't want to feel guilty and you don't want to cancel on them. If you're going through a tough time, you have to make more space for yourself. That's really important. What can you take off the to-do list? Where can you implement more pleasure into your life? So for me, that would be taking baths. Well, actually, pleasure for me is seeing certain friends. So certain connections are really nourishing for me, or going out to the cinema, having a nice meal, getting a takeaway, having a cuddle, just any kind of pleasure, whatever pleasure means for you, making sure that you're giving yourself that, because I do think that pleasure is one of the antidotes to stress and tension and anxiety. We don't get enough of it in the world we live in. Oh, I've also written down hot chocolate, tea and hot chocolate, and also getting organized. Maybe if you're overwhelmed with something, then it can be a nice thing to do is just to get organized with some part of your life and make a list or clear out a drawer. I've also written down here, get a facial, paint your nails, get your nails done. All those things can be really just, I know they sound silly, but they're not. They're actually really important. They're a huge part of self-care and building that relationship with yourself and soothing your nervous system and, you know, creating a buffer for difficult times. And that's it. These are all the things that I would encourage you to think about, and think about how you can build safety for yourself. How can you create more ritual around darkness? What supports do you need? What connections do you need? How can you implement more pleasure around it? I'd love to hear how you get on. So send me an email, lisa@lisadeyoungcoaching.com. If you want to learn more about this, if you want to learn more about the nervous system and regulating the nervous system, I have courses on my website. You can go to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com. I'll put the link in the show notes. I have lots of courses for you to choose from. And if you want one-to-one support, if you want to avail of my 3 or 6 month container and do some deep inner work and process some stuff out and get to a place of feeling stronger in yourself, I can absolutely help you. Just book a free consultation on my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, and we can have a chat and see how we can move forward. So thank you for listening. Hope you have a lovely rest of your week, and I will see you next week. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.